Hello, hello! This is Fernando Fiore, El Presidente, and you are listening to the Mouths of the South podcast on DirtySouthSucker.com. Yole!
This is the Mouths of the South podcast. Matt Doyle joining us now on the Mouths of the South podcast.
And Alexi Lalas joins us right now,
bringing you the best coverage of Atlanta United FC. Paul Tenorio joining us now. Kristen Hennage on the Mouths of the South podcast.
The president of Atlanta United FC, Darren Eales.
Happy to have Doug Robertson on the Mouths of the South podcast, AJC writer for Atlanta United. The biggest names and exclusive interviews on the Mouths of the South podcast.
He'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you having me on.
Let's go. Against the Seattle Sounders, and we're back here on the Mouths of the South podcast, our post-game show, San Franco, Eric Quintana, live at Badeau Irish Pub. Come on, guys, make some noise. Nobody's looking at me,
nope. So
I'm going to sit down. But crazy game, and I'll say this, I give Atlanta United a ton of credit for going into a hostile environment and not allowing any goals. And in fact, the real only crazy goal-scoring opportunity was from Clint Dempsey, who hit a header with his first touch of the game and railed it into the post. So Atlanta United, I give them all the credit in the world for not allowing a goal up there. But there, when they got on the wrong end for Atlanta United or around the
game changed.
And that's the thing. If he had started this game, I think Atlanta United have a much better chance. Kenwin Jones came on and he almost had the chance to get the game winner there.
Oh, right at the end there. Man, that was heartbreaking.
Almiron also had a shot that just a right little grounded shot almost went past the keeper. But I'll say this, for a 0-0 draw, that was a hell of a game, excitement-wise. But it wasn't the most technical game I've ever seen. In fact, it was pretty sloppy.
It was exciting because we had an interest in this game, obviously.
It wouldn't have been exciting from a neutral perspective.
Yeah, so if you're an Atlanta City fan, not excited, you know?
Yeah, right.
But because we're Atlanta United fans, definitely exciting. I thought Almiron should have had a goal there. I think if he's not just subbed on at that point, I think he scores because he's later in the game. He's had more time on the actual ball. He's been in the game longer. At that point, he had been in the game for 10 minutes maybe, hadn't gotten that many touches, and I guess Nate could have been, honestly, not his first touch. Regardless, I thought overall, my initial reaction is that this is a great 0-0 draw in
it
a
is.
Hostile environment to start the road trip. So listen, if me personally, I wanted four points out of this road trip, assuming that they would get a loss out of...
We're talking about the two games.
No. I wanted 4 points. The road trip itself.
Out of the four games
of
the road
trip. Out of
the
four games.
Okay, wow. Okay.
I am very confident that Atlanta can go into RSL and whoop that ass, as they say.
Woo!
But Seattle, Toronto, and Montreal were the big question marks in my eyes. And so to go into Seattle, get a point, not concede a goal, and really only concede the only real chance they conceded was the shot, well, the header that
Dempsey
hit off the post. Outside of that, both teams, there wasn't a lot of options. There wasn't a lot of attack. It was a lot of, all right, well, what are you going to give us? It looked exactly like an EPL game. If you're looking for two teams that'll play EPL style of soccer, this was an EPL. Outside of the take away the technical.
Yeah, I was
going to
say you got to
take away
the technical
aspect of it.
Yeah.
If you're looking at how two teams control the game while they're on the ball, and it's not a super fast-paced game like we normally see in MLS, this was exactly like the type of game you see in EPL. And the fact that it was a 0-0 draw means that we match up well with the top tier. In my eyes, Seattle's a top tier team in MLS.
Oh, of course.
And so if we are 0-0 drawing with them, that means we are both defensively and attacking-wise. Maybe not so much attacking wise with the lack of Martinez, but at least defensive wise, this was a good test for the defense, and I thought they passed.
Well, look, Atlanta United is an expansion team, and this is their fourth game ever in MLS, and they just went into Seattle, the defending champs,
got
a nil-nil draw. Didn't allow a goal against Seattle. So you got to give them, like I said earlier in this episode, give them all the credit in the world. They went in.
They got
and
got
the job done on the defensive side. I will say that with this lineup, too, I mean, the lineup that started this game.
I did not expect. Look, after the first 10 minutes, I didn't expect a nothing
draw.
Hey,
I'm the only mouth of the South that picked a draw, okay? So you guys, you Debbie Downers, you and Jason were picking us to lose.
Look, if Dempsey's header goes a quarter inch to the left, maybe less than that, that's a goal.
If it's in butts or candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Close on the count and horseshoes and hand grenades,
my friend. I'm as happy as you are. They walk out of there with a point. Again, a hard-earned point. 713-955-0722 if you want to get in on the Mountain South podcast.
Please call us.
We're going to be here for the next hour, at least till 1 a.m. in the morning, taking your calls because we want to hear your reaction. We want to hear your reaction to the first game that really
– that was the first real game.
It was the first game that Atlanta didn't fully control, you know?
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
Because even with New York, you saw them really control all of 75 minutes of that game. And although the last 15 were the deciding 15, you still saw them do things that you were like, wow, this is an expansion team. They're already doing things like that. They're already, you know, scoring goals. They're already doing through passes that are beautifully, beautifully, you know, they're just beautiful through passes, whatever the case may be. The chemistry didn't seem to be that big of an issue. Even in this game, the chemistry didn't seem that big. The biggest issue to me, and you already sort of glossed over this, the midfield.
Yeah.
We had absolutely no presence in the midfield. It was either straight counter or you work it out of the back and slowly progress. You almost skipped the midfield with a pass down the sideline.
Well, there was no possession. That was the problem. Like this was not a – it's funny because Atlanta United –
Don't look at the stats, because the stats, I think, midway through the second half was like 55% Atlanta.
Atlanta was dominating possession.
Yeah, it was very even.
Right.
Regardless of what the stats say, it was more even than the stats.
I'll say this. Atlanta United may have touched the ball more, but there was no consistent possession in this game.
Nope.
Both teams kept turning the ball over, kept having mindless passes, mindless turnovers.
The possessions came in the final third for both teams.
I didn't see who the referee was in this game, but that guy does not need to be working games.
He
was
like
terrible.
A notch below Geiger.
Well, all we ask from officials is to be consistent. And there was a play where there was a 50-50 challenge from Chris McCann. He went shoulder to shoulder on someone. He gets called for a foul. Then on the other end, down near the corner flag, there was one where one of the Seattle players barged in shoulder to shoulder, and they didn't call it. So we just want consistency. That's all we want from officials.
But I will say these are MLS refs, so we know what we're getting into, and it's fine. The fact that, again, let's take a step back and look at this as a whole. You look at the fact that we were in a hostile environment in Seattle, and Seattle is one of the more tougher environments that we're going to go into. Toronto is going to be another tough one. Montreal is going to be another tough one. But Seattle other than Portland, it's Portland and Seattle as tough as environments to play in.
Absolutely.
We go in there.
Well, they had 40,000 people at this game.
Yep. We go in there with a bat with a ref that
was awful.
Wasn't consistent. I'll just say that. It wasn't consistent. We went into an environment where the ref wasn't consistent, and you come out with a nil-nil draw, which is perfectly fine because you don't give anything in the goal differential. You didn't score any, but that's fine. You still come out of there with a point and on the road, on these next four. And it's not just these four road games. These four road games are a big part of it. Come to D.C., and then you're going to on the road for another two games. So this next at least six games are going to be – no, seven games are going to be huge. Any points you can take away from these games early on and not give up a goal like that, that is huge all the way.
And you know one thing about tonight that was so big, and it can't be overstated – the leading goal scorer in MLS did not play. And Atlanta United was still able to go into an extremely hostile environment,
absolutely,
get a draw, and really play well on the defensive end. I'll say this too. Julian Gressel may turn out to be the most shrewd draft pick draft history. But he wasn't. But he had moments, and
he
impacted the game. And that's what I'm saying. He definitely had his bad moments, but he also had good moments. And this is a kid that is starting games and he was a second-round draft pick rookie coming out of nowhere, and now he's starting.
He looked like and think about this when I say it. He looked like in his worst, not his worst game, but in a not great game for Julian Gressel. He had, like you said, he had a great moment. He looked like in a slightly above average MLS player.
Yeah,
and again,
exactly.
He's a rookie.
Exactly. Yeah, that's,
so let's
that's
put
it,
that
yeah.
into perspective that he's more or less at the best competition in MLS right now, in my opinion, with Seattle and the talent they have. He is going to look like that, at least early on the season. This will get better as the year goes along and as he faces more competition. And let's not pretend like Almiron missing in the first half wasn't a big deal. There was no, absolutely zero presence in the midfield, and that is what really cost us in that first half. Having three guys, basically what amounts to as two defensive center mids and a attacking center mid that is has the mentality of a defensive center mid. It looked more like we were playing three defensive center mids than we did an attacking center mid with two defensive mids behind.
713-955-0722 if you would like to call us. And I'll say this. If you're talking about, like, looking at different things for Atlanta United, man of the match, I've got to say that my man, Leandro Gonzalez Perez, was incredible tonight.
Yep.
He had some amazing tackles, and that is another one of those just incredibly shrewd signings by the front office. I feel like I'm yelling a lot right now.
No, it's okay. The music is loud.
It's just another one of those great signings by Atlanta United's front office, just going out and finding a guy like that. And he is, early on in the season, got to be, like, if you're just talking about right now, he's got to be a contender for MLS Defender of this period of MLS.
Yeah, in five games, yeah.
I mean,
he was huge.
He played unbelievably. And some of the tackles he made, I mean, I'm talking about, like, last man tackles. Like, if he doesn't make those tackles, it's probably a goal for Seattle. So he really was the man of the match, in my opinion, because he was that last line of defense. I thought Parkhurst had some okay moments. He did. Let's put it this way, Parkhurst. He didn't cost Atlanta United anything. So it was a decent game from him. Really good game from Perez. I thought Garza was a soldier out there.
I was just about to highlight him.
And Mears was totally fine as well. I mean, none of the defenders did anything just like lose Atlanta United again.
I'm telling you, I'm more impressed by this defensive back line.
And that was the biggest question.
After week.
That was the biggest question we had about Atlanta United going into the season, because we saw Martinez, Almiron, Assad, Villalba.
And we didn't really know what we were going to get out of this kind of combination of MLS and veteran international experience type of talent.
And the back line was way better than the attackers.
We didn't really know what we were going to get out of Garza. We know now he's a stud. In these first four games, he has been nothing short of a stud. Mears, we know exactly what we get in Mears. And it's not anything you know supernatural that he's doing. It's just we know exactly what he gets. Perez and Parker, like you said, just absolutely brilliant today. Garza was, to me, the defensive player of the game, if you will. He had how scared were you when he went down?
Very, because he's been very important, and he has been a player that has been well. That's the thing. You look at the entire back line, and it's a cohesive unit. And we talked about it, how cohesive that it has been, and it was especially good tonight. Our folks over at Terminus Legion are about to do a
713-955-0722 if you want to get on the podcast. Someone just brought up a great point. Thomas Floyd. He's a big,
well, that's where I got. That's what I was talking
about.
Yeah,
and he's not. He's praising Perez, but more importantly, Atlanta United. Depending on how you want to look at that own goal against New York, Atlanta United hasn't given up a goal in the run of play yet. And Seattle might be one of the toughest. It's going to be the toughest opponent they face in this road trip, in my opinion. I think they're better than Toronto, not just because they've won MLS Cup, but because they're more fluid in how they attack. You know what? Let's just go straight to the phones. 770. Again, if you want to get on with the Mountain Stop Podcast, 713-955-0722. 770, you're on with the Mountain Stop Podcast. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Kevin.
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, man. I'm actually at the game right now. It was fantastic.
What was the atmosphere like?
You know what? With Atlanta holding the ball so much, they really took the crowd out of it. Like, they tried to get some chance when Atlanta got close to the goal, but, like, they just really couldn't find a chance to really build up the crowd because Atlanta was just either had the ball or a quick defense right back.
I mean, did you guys – it wasn't as hectic in the first half with that midfield missing Almiron, noticeably missing Almiron. Was it as hectic live in person as it was for us on TV? Because we're watching at Fidel Irish Pub in Buckhead. And we were, every time they lost the ball in the midfield, we were like, oh, my gosh, where's Almiron?
Yeah, there was that in there. I mean, Gressel, we felt like both. Gressel was doing a great job out there, just being on pressure on the ball all the time. And Perez was, oh, man, it was amazing to watch him play out there. He was just solid defense the whole game.
Now, I wanted to ask, since you were at the game, did you get any impressions from the Seattle fans, like, at any point during the game about what they thought about Atlanta?
Oh, my God. Honestly, they have been the best fans ever. Everyone was praising Atlanta, said that, oh, man, you guys got a great team there. Somebody came up even before the game started, and just like an ambassador came up and said, hey, welcome to the game. You guys flew in from Atlanta. What's going on? Like, they were just all really nice and just really excited for us to be there.
I wanted to be there. I really wanted to be there.
Yeah, I did, too.
Thanks so much for the call, Kevin. Yeah, I wanted to be there.
I did too, but I think, you know, I'm really trying to make Portland work out somehow.
Same here.
Like, that's the one that I really want to go to.
If you want to be like Kevin, 713-955-0722, let us know what you thought about the game.
And big shout out to Kevin for calling in
from,
the game.
From Seattle.
Like, that's what we need.
Now,
we need gold.
It is like 9 o'clock over there. So
well, true, but I'm saying
it is still the night is still very young.
We need moles. You know, we need people at the games, like, to call us after the games, but.
Can I give you another sticking point?
Please, go ahead.
Can with his distribution. And it's not so much about Can and his specific distribution, but it is sort of about his. Like, it's a weird way of phrasing it, but it's not that his distribution is terrible. Is that he has, I think you mentioned it in the pregame, he has momentary mental lapses.
He's indecisive, man. Like,
here's the thing that I'm curious about. He's obviously going to be second string goalkeeper when Brad Guzan comes in.
But here's the thing.
Brad Guzan isn't that good of a distributor.
No.
Especially with the ball at his feet.
No. Tim Howard is one of the best distributing goalkeepers I've ever seen in my life. And Brad Guzan is no Tim Howard. And Alec Can
I'm not
certainly not.
I think Brad Guzan is a better shot stopper, but when you're asking
than Tim Howard?
No. Then Can.
Oh, then Can. Okay, I was about to say.
No. Yeah, that's kind of
like,
a given.
Do you not remember Switzerland?
Switzerland? You mean Belgium?
Belgium. Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, European countries. We don't care. This is America.
He's been drinking. It's okay. The distribution to me.
The FCC can't stop me from drinking right now.
The distribution for me at times was just, oh my gosh, like why?
It was
man?
Bad. It
I mean,
bad.
It's not that it wasn't. The idea wasn't terrible. It's not like he just completely – it's just the actual execution of the pass wasn't great. It wasn't anything to kind of write home about. It wasn't – you know, it led straight to a turnover or a chance for Seattle, and it just made me scratch my head thinking, why? The moments that he kicked the ball long on goal kicks and whatnot, those are the moments I felt safest where I was like, all right, we're good for at least the next, like, minute or so. We're not going to give up a goal in the next minute because of something stupid Can did or something stupid anyone in the back line did or just a mental lapse in judgment from any of those guys. I don't know. I mean, we could go player by player. What do you think of Assad?
I thought he was pretty bad. I didn't think he had a really good impact on the game.
Again, we could go player for player, but I think most of the team, because of the lack of midfield presence, most of the team was just like, meh. I mean, who stood out to you?
Well, you know what stood out to me more than anything?
Outside of the back line, who stood out to you?
Miguel Almiron. I mean,
after the 60th minute.
But no, let me say this. Can we talk about the biggest thing about this game tonight was touches. The touches from both sides. It seems like the international break.
It wasn't great.
Completely took. I mean, that's the thing. There were so many heavy touches, and the ball would get away from people. And honestly, that's probably why there were no goals in this game, just because the touch, nobody really had.
Well, I mean, I think if Dempsey – look, if all the starters that normally would start this – this is why I think it's a good draw, because with all the absences, with all the people that were brought on after halftime, I think that the reason this is a good draw is because no one had their star players out there. Dempsey wasn't until late in the, you know, whatever, 60th minute, whatever it was in the second half. Same with Almiron. Carmona didn't come until later.
Of his header against the post, what did Dempsey really
do? That's
what
I'm saying. In the first half, he's in, they probably have a little more cohesion in that attack in that final third.
Both managers didn't really handle their lineup selection very well. Like, they,
I don't know if Tata Martino had a choice.
Well, I mean,
although I will say, after seeing how. I think Kenwin might.
Kenwin should have started.
I think Kenwin might have started,
had
yeah.
no idea how to be that central player. He's
yeah.
not. That's not what he is. He's a winger. He's a wide player. And Tata tried to move him central and be like, well, Tata can do what Joseph can. No, he can't. And we found that out.
It just wasn't the same. And let's not pretend like the distribution from the midfield wasn't an issue.
Well, no, it was bad.
Because you had times where, you know, McCann and Gressel, and they would try to get the ball up in that final third to guys like Assad, guys like Tito Villalba, and it just wasn't working. It was an errant pass or just a flat-out bad pass. If Almiron is in that game, in those situations, I think, and again, we can't say for certainty, but I think that Almiron has a – the chances that pass is a better pass is very much up when Almiron is in the game.
Well, and there was one play where somebody passed a through ball into Villalba in the box, and instead of just shooting first time, he tried to take a touch, and he had like three defenders around him. It's like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, you've got to shoot that. And you can tell players that are more designed to be strikers and things like that know what to do in that situation. For example, Kenwin Jones, pass of the game was from Gressel to Almiron.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Gressel, yeah.
And we think it was Gressel, right. But what does Almiron do? Shoots it first time. There was another one, slotted through ball right to Kenwin Jones, shoots it first time. It didn't work out, but that's the thing. You cannot dick around. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can't just, like, in the box, you've got to take your opportunities when they come. And I feel like Villalba messed around too much. It's like, you know, as a winger, your job on the out being out wide is to get around players. When you're a central player, your job
open
is
up
to put
space
shots
and shoot.
On goal.
Yep.
Yes. And Villalba did not do that.
I think moving forward, I think Kenwin might need to start. Just so that you can – and it's not so much because Kenwin is better than Villalba. It's more because Villalba is just noticeably better on the you know, out wide. And Kenwin, putting him centrally, allows, obviously, Villalba and Assad to do those things out wide they do. And Kenwin, you can play the ball up in the air to him. You can play the ball up in the air to him and hope that maybe one of the wingers crashes in or he gets a good header on goal.
I really would like to see Kenwin.
I think, especially against a game like Toronto, I think Kenwin has a start.
He's not a Tata player. He's not the system that Tata wants to run.
Well, he's not,
I would like to see him more. I think Tata needs to be more adaptable to get him in because he looked good
yeah.
in the 10 minutes he was in the game.
He's not a player that Tata chose.
No.
That was a player before that Atlanta United signed before because they wanted to – it wasn't about splashy moves or anything. They wanted solid players that would translate to MLS. McCann is exactly that. Kenwin is exactly that. They're a little at least Kenwin is on a little older side, but that doesn't mean he can't contribute in these moments, in
yeah.
games like this where, you know, maybe he should have started. Maybe that's a lesson Tata takes from this and goes and starts Kenwin Jones next week and sees what that happens for the course of 60 minutes
but
or so.
To me, at least after this is Atlanta United's biggest issue, lack of depth at striker. And we talked about it
yep.
earlier in the week previewing this game. You really only have two. You have Joseph Martinez and you have Kenwin Jones, and they're completely different style of strikers. So I think when the window opens back up, if Atlanta United can make a move, I don't even know if they can based on what they've done already. That is the number one priority to me. Go get somebody that can be another striker because they don't have it.
But
Villalba is not it.
Here's what I would say, though, is that if you start a guy like Kenwin Jones, that opens up a lot of opportunities for guys like Villalba, guys like Assad, to make those diagonal runs, to play off of a hold-up play from Kenwin Jones. You don't have that with Martinez. Everything funnels through Martinez in the attack because he's really the one real dangerous option centrally. And that it makes sense. It's obvious. I'm not saying people don't already know. But when you have a guy like Kenwin, who you can play off of, who you can distribute the ball to with his hold-up play or cross it into the box in the air. But specifically with his hold-up play, you can play off of him. You can play it to Kenwin and then make a run or you know, just open up some space for yourself so that you can play a pass into Assad or Bijalba. That it's not exactly what we've seen in the first three games, but it's the next best thing.
Yeah.
What we did in the first half clearly didn't work.
And I'll say this. One thing Tata Martino is going to have to do is be more adaptable, because his tiki-taka or whatever is not always going to be able to be implemented. And so I feel like that's why you need a wide variety of players that can do a bunch of different things. And that's what Kenwin Jones can provide. And different games are going to call for different strategies. And you can't just continue to force the same thing over and over and over again, because it's not going to work. And the best managers in the world know that. They know how to adapt their system to the type of game that they're going to have to play. And when you start a lineup like Tata started tonight and you expect the same results that you've been getting, you're not going to get that. And I don't know what Martino was expecting from tonight's game, whether it was to go in there and try and get a win, or was this a lineup that he said, look, we're coming off the international break, I'm going to rest guys. If we get a draw, I'll be, you know, tapping my toes together with excitement. So if that was the case, then that's fine. But if he played that lineup and just expected it to be the same old stuff, well, that's not going to be the case. You can't play tiki-taka with guys that don't know how to play.
Here's where I will disagree with you. I think with the inclusion of Kenwin Jones, if Almiron had been in there, I think you could play the exact same style, just a different variation of that style with Kenwin Jones at top. I think you could, again, playing off of him isn't that hard to do. He's used to it. He knows what his role is. And so if you can have him adapt to Tata Martino's playing style with his high press, and then, you know, especially with Kenwin, it'd be a lot of hold up play. I think that proves, I mean, it could have been a different game had he started, I think. It could have been a very different game. It could have been a less...
I feel like it could have held the ball a little more.
It could have been a less straight up back and forth. I don't know that the result would have been different, but it was a lot of very much, all right, well, we're going to possess and work the ball up. All right, turnover. We're going to possess and work the ball up. All right, turnover. We're going to possess and work the ball up. All right, shot on goal. Nope. We're going to possess and work the ball up. It was a lot of the same things from both teams. And early in the week, you saw guys that Sounder at hard right that, you know, Smetzger wants to play more out of the back, and they want to develop that style of play for the future of the Seattle Sounders. And that doesn't necessarily change with a Kenwin. It's just different with Kenwin. That's why I'll disagree with you, is that putting Kenwin in doesn't mean you're going to change your playing style. It just means that playing style is just the variation is just different. You're still playing tiki-taka, but you're not playing at
well, the players around him are still doing the one-touch passing, the back and forth, all that stuff.
You can still do that with Kenwin up top.
He's
just, it's just for Kenwin, in a non-obvious attacking situation, he has to be able to do that. His ability on the ball in that hold-up situation has got to be perfect. Well, close to perfect.
You know, one of my least favorite phrases in all of soccer is when people bang on, like, long ball United or long ball England. I'm like, look, there's nothing wrong with playing long ball.
You can't
do it all the time. But that's the thing. If you have a guy like Kenwin that can hold up.
See, to me, how many times do we see opportunities where Mears had the ball, Garza had the ball, and they could easily put a cross in? But they know guys like Tito Vizalba and Assad aren't going to
– They're not going to be able to get that ball. They're not an aerial threat.
713-955-0722 if you want to get in on the post-game podcast. 6 on the Mountain South podcast, post-game edition. What did you think of the match?
Hey, yeah, I thought that Atlanta came out and I thought that they got the point that they needed there. And, you know, it was a totally different game after Dempsey came on, and then Atlanta started making the subs to bring on Almiron and Carmona.
Yeah, no, I totally think that the game changed with Almiron. We were talking about that. It's sort of unfortunate when you think about it that Almiron didn't start. I thought this starting lineup was very strange considering the starting lineup that had been out there the past few games.
See, I didn't think it was so much strange. Go ahead.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting not to see Carmona out there. I kind of thought McCann was a little bit out of his game in this one.
Yeah, I think he's still trying to find his feet in MLS. He didn't look great in this game. I thought he had some good moments, but, yeah, he didn't look great either. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Let's keep the calls going, 713-955-0722. If you want to get on the Mouse South podcast, 706, you're on the Mouse South podcast. What do you think of the match?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I'm glad we got a point against probably one of the best teams in the league. I thought the team played really well even in the first half. The passes were a little bit disjointed, just coming off the rest of the 10-day break and all that. But I thought overall it was really well played, and I'm really happy with the point.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. The difference is we're looking at this as a game that is a normal weekend game, a normal fixture in the schedule, and it's not. We're coming off the international break. We had one of our key guys get hurt. Two of the other key guys on international duty, so they had to take those long flights. We couldn't add them to the roster, to the starting lineup. That was obviously the most notable aspect of everything that happened tonight. And I don't know how much the game changes with them on the field, because it looked like Seattle, regardless of who was on the field, was going to be able to hold their own. I think the chances are increased that Atlanta scores maybe one in that first half. Again, I don't know what Seattle does, because it's a different game when you have guys like Almiron and Carmona in the game. Carmona has been a stud so far, and we don't know what it looks like when they're taking. Well, we just got our first glimpse of what it looks like when they're taken off the field and Atlanta's pulled, you know, with their bench, with their MLS veterans experience, you know, coming in. What happens after that?
And look, in the first few games, Atlanta United's offense has gotten all the plaudits, but their defense, I mean, that's what has impressed me more than anything. And especially in a game like this, where they go in and shut out one of the best teams in the entire league.
I think the big thing is,
for me,
go ahead.
I said, I'm going to have to agree with Sam. The defense is amazing. I know Gonzalez Perez is going to get all the headlines, but for me, Greg Garza has been amazing in the first four games. I'm just blown away by how good he's been, and I can't wait to see him keep going.
I think it was a great test of, and thanks for the call. I think this was a great test of what the depth that Atlanta United has. And we know that at the very least, the depth can hold teams like Seattle to a 0-0 draw. That they can compete in those games. That they can create at least some chances to be in the game. So that we're not looking at, a 4-0 loss going up against a solid MLS team. You know, when we go to Toronto, we have the confidence now that, you know, we can compete in those games. We go to Montreal, we have the confidence we can compete in those games. We go up against teams, who's the best Eastern Conference team right now? We go to LA Galaxy, we know we can compete with those teams. That is the biggest lesson I wanted out of it. It's how well was our bench, was the MLS town, well, was, yeah, I mean, if you look at the runaway, how good was our bench? And I think we got a good taste of how good the guys that we can rely on off the bench, whether it's in a spot start or whether it's, you know, in the 60th, 70th, 75th minute, we know exactly what we have now. We know Peterson is capable. We know that McCann, and I'm not, that's, he's not MLS experience. That's not what I'm talking about. But we know that McCann is capable. I thought he had a rough game. I thought there were a few chances that he kind of blew, kind of by himself with passes that were either a little errant. Not to say that he didn't have a good game. It was a fine game by McCann, but at the same time, there were two distinct opportunities that I remember that one to Assad I think it was Assad. It could have been Fajardo, but two distinct opportunities where McCann just kind of missed on the pass on the through ball to the forwards. I'm trying to think. Lorenzo, I thought was fine. Gressel, again, in the first half, I thought he missed on a lot of passes. That a lot of the stuff that we've seen him succeed in or do well with in the first, well, against Minnesota and against Chicago, we didn't see him do as well in this match. And I mean, that's where the difference was to me, in the midfield. It was everything in the midfield. Once Almiron came on, this game was a completely different match. It was all of a sudden we had a threatening attack. Before, it was like, are we going to take advantage of this chance that has been given to us? That was the mindset I felt. Is that once Agnew was in, we were a threat all over the field. As soon as we got the ball, we were a threat because Agnew was on the field. Before that, it was more of a what is Seattle going to afford us? What opportunities are they going to give us?
Right. 713-955-0722 is the phone number. We have a call coming in right now from 678. 678, you're on the Mouths of the South podcast. Hello, caller. You are on the Mouths
of the
South
podcast.
What did
you think of the match, man? 678, you there?
I don't think he's there. So,
I think he's there. He's just refusing not to talk to us.
Yeah, he's pulling the old anchor man. It's like, is this Will Chamberlain?
Yeah, I don't know. 678, if you can hear us, call back because you obviously can't hear us.
Or there's something wrong with the connection there. But anyway, I'll say this. After the first four games, if Atlanta United doesn't make the playoffs, I will be thoroughly shocked.
It's the expectation now. The expectation is that this team should make the playoffs. You just went into the MLS champs home, into their stadium, and drew 0-0. Kept them scoreless. They kept you scoreless. But the most important thing is that you left there with a point.
I tell you what, though, Tenwin Jones or
Almiron
had slotted in their chances.
Oh,
there,
man.
Right at the end.
We're looking at a win with less than 5 minutes to play. Both chances were key opportunities. I thought Kenwin could have done a better job. I thought both of them, honestly, could have done
a
better job.
I'll say this. If one of those had slotted home a goal, though, that would have been a more impressive win than either of the Chicago or Minnesota.
I thought Almiron's shot was weak, to be honest. That's what I thought. All right, let's try you again. 678, you're on with the Mountain South podcast. What do you think of the match?
How's it going? What did y'all think about Jones and him not starting tonight?
One more time.
He said, what do you think about Jones not starting tonight? And it's interesting just because it's such a weird dynamic because he was signed before Tata Martino took over as coach, and it really just doesn't seem like Tata can fit him into the system, at least in terms of starting, in terms of how he wants to start a game. But he knew that he needed a real striker at some point in this game, and Kenwin was the only real striker other than Jose Martinez on the roster. So he brings him in, and I thought Kenwin did very well in his limited time, but hopefully we will get to see Kenwin start sometime soon because Villalba up top did not work. I don't know if they'll try Yamil Assad up top. I don't know what will happen next.
But you called us to give us your opinion. What did you think of Kenwin not starting?
I mean, when he was signed, that, you know, he was like a big acquisition. I thought he could be one of the star players around, like, you know, build around. So I thought it was interesting that when Martinez didn't go out, that he didn't get the opportunity to start tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I feel like without Martinez, this struggles. It's going to struggle. The sooner we get him back, or the sooner we can see else that can play that true striker position, that can make the same kind of runs, that can be not the same, because I think Joseph has proved that he is a threat on another level. But if you can find one of our players, one of the forwards we already have on the roster that can present a similar or a, you know, he's the next best thing type of threat up top like Joseph, then I think you got to start him. I think Kenwin right now is that next best threat. And it's not because of his speed, obviously, but it's more because of his hold-up play and his ability in the air. And when you don't really have any other options other than Kenwin, I think he has the start. I think depending on Villalba, like you said, Dan, depending on Villalba and Assad to kind of work off of whatever you throw in, it's just not going to work. I think they're clearly meant to be on the wings, and I mean, I think today kind of proved that.
No, it's just so apparent. Like, you've got to have a real striker.
It's also just one game. We'll see if they come out the same way against Toronto and Montreal. We'll see how that goes, but I it's all dependent on the game plan. I thought, especially without Chad Marshall, I don't know what kind of adjustments they can make after the official lineups have already been announced and whatnot. But without Chad Marshall, I thought, hell. I told you, throwing Kenwin. If Chad Marshall's on in there, throwing Kenwin.
Yeah, and
that's the first thing I said.
I really hope Kenwin does start next week just because there's going to need to be somebody that can battle with Jozy Altidore in the box. And I know Kenwin's not a defender, but they need somebody with some size.
Yeah. 713-955-0722. 803 Mountain South Podcast. What'd you think of the match?
Hey, man. Francisco calling from Aiken, South Carolina. I've been a long-time listener, guys. I was, at the end, happy with it 1 point. Just upset that Kenwin Jones couldn't get that goal in. But, you know, I was kind of pulling for him to get his first of for Atlanta. I wanted to ask y'all a question. When you expect to see Andrew Carlton, or is it going to be till the U.S. Open or something like that to see him?
I don't know. I thought because he made the trip that he would be in a position to where he could start, but he didn't make the 18. So I'm not start. Sorry, to make the game, but he didn't make the 18. So you immediately knew that wasn't going to be an issue. I'm starting to wonder if they took him because they're not going from Seattle to Atlanta. They're going from Seattle to I forget what the thing is. The next game, Montreal or Toronto?
Toronto.
Yeah. So I got to think they're going straight across. I mean, why would you come home?
No, it doesn't make any sense. And I'll say this. This is a 16-year-old kid. How many 16-year-old kids are starting anywhere? I mean, Wayne Rudy did. And, Francisco, thank you so much for the call. We really do appreciate it. But you've got to be, like, one of the best 16-year-olds to ever, like, step foot on a soccer field.
Yeah, I mean, let's be patient with Andrew Carlton. This, you also don't want him to go into – you don't want him to start or go into a game where it's not at home, especially as a fan, because you want that – jubilation, and you want that excitement around him stepping on the field in an official game for Atlanta United, you know, being the first homegrown player signed and all that good stuff. You know, you want that to be at home. You want him to get the proper entrance.
Absolutely.
713-955-0722 if you want to get on the podcast. Post-game show, 404 on the Mountaintop Podcast. What do you think of the match?
I understand why you don't play Andrew Carlton in a game like this. He's just not strong enough on defense. He's not a big enough body. But at the same time, what does Jamil Assad bring to the game? Honestly, like, he's not doing anything on offense. He's not doing anything on defense. Assad is struggling.
Yeah, you know, over the course of the past few games, he's done a tremendous amount.
But here's my question to you. If you don't start Assad, or let's throw in Dijalba in the mix, because they have not looked stellar compared to some of the other players. You know what you have in a guy like Peterson, and you know what you have in the other MLS guys that you brought over. But Assad and Dijalba have that speed and have that technical ability that's better than they are. Who are you going to substitute either of those guys for in any scenario?
Well, Assad is not a TAM player. He's not a big-time player. He has nothing. He's not bringing anything on the defensive side of the ball. Absolutely nothing. He's lazy. He stands in the corner and, like, he's a black hole. Let's bring in Carlton. Carlton, we need to bring something to the offense.
Who do you put in instead of him that performs better than he does? It adds more to the attack than he does.
No. I think Tito brings something to the game. I think Assad brings nothing to the game.
Oh, see, I disagree. I thought I didn't think he had a great game.
I
know, and I didn't either. I'm not saying
he is a black hole. He is a black hole. Tell me he's not a black hole when he gets the ball. Oh my God, he's terrible.
I think better distribution might have helped his cause tonight. And same with Dijalba. I think Dijalba was it just looked weird.
He does nothing on defense. He doesn't get back at all. He's so lazy. He's so lazy.
But they're not asked to do anything on defense. They're asked to press
high. Peterson did something on defense. Peterson came back and was a body on defense. Assad was not.
But Peterson's a midfielder. That's his job. That's what he does.
They played the same position opposite sides of the field.
That's his natural instinct.
They played the same position opposite sides of the field.
But you might have looked at this lineup as a 4-4-2 as opposed to whatever it is that they trotted out there. I can't really remember off the top of my head.
It was a 4-1-2-3-1
or something like that.
It was like, yeah.
Peterson was always going to drop back because that's the player he is. He's the workhorse. He's the sixth man off the bench, if you will. He's that guy.
Tell me this. What did Assad bring to the team tonight? What did he bring
tonight,
to the team?
Not much.
Tonight.
But what did Dijalba, What did Vijalba bring? What did anyone in the midfield bring? No one brought anything.
Vijalba made runs. Vijalba made runs. Hate on him all you want, but he made runs. He created separation. He created space. What do you want him to do?
The only reason that didn't work as well with Assad is because Vijalba was the distribution just wasn't there. There was no presence in the attacking third, especially centrally. And that's how this team attacks, is through the middle. They don't attack on the wing.
Yeah, they don't attack on the wings because they don't have any talent on the wings. Come on, give me some break. Give me a break here.
Diago runs into the box.
I mean, we attack through the middle because that's where Almiron and Martinez play, but we should attack on the wings too. Like, get some out there with some talent. Get Carlton out there. Carlton won't play defense either. I get that, but at least he'll have some tricks on the ball. He'll move the ball forward.
But when you don't have Almiron out there, when you don't have your central playmaker distributing the ball to those guys to make the runs, it makes things a lot harder. And maybe that's why Yamil Assad didn't look as good tonight. But when you have your number one lineup out there, Yamil Assad is a great complementary piece.
I'm not an apologist for Yamil Assad. That guy is not very talented. He got booed out of Argentina. Needs him to get booed out of Atlanta. Like, give him another month, and he'll be gone.
All right, man.
Listen. We appreciate the take. That's what I'll say. That we definitely appreciate the take. But thanks for the call.
713-955-0722.
Hey, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I'm not. I'm legitimately not hating on his take because he can have that take.
No,
like,
no.
Everybody's
up.
I don't agree. I don't agree. I think that with if you have Joseph up top is a enormous difference maker because of the attention he demands.
Well, and I think in this game in particular, it is very unfair to just call out Yamil Assad. You know, I mean, this.
Yeah,
is one
look
of,
at the look at the course. Look at the.
This is one of the best
here's
teams
my,
in the league.
Here's my thing. I think about the different chances he's had throughout the last four. Three games. He could have easily had three goals. He had the one that I don't know exactly what happened with Gressel's cross into the box.
Right.
He obviously had the first goal against the Red Bulls. I mean, do we forget the goal he made? The goal he created basically by himself against Chattanooga FC.
Yeah.
The butte that we all saw. I mean, it's not that he just hasn't had.
Somebody doesn't have talent when they score a curler.
Well, no.
Like
and it's not just that, but I mean, you can't. You look at Assad and you look at Vijalba, and they've had the same kind of amount of success, where it's just more a struggle for them to get the notoriety they deserve. But you got to remember that the team has basically worked everything through through Martinez for the first three games.
Yeah.
And again, you look at that, and that's all that's happened. You can't take these first three games and say Assad doesn't provide anything because everything's gone through Martinez.
Yeah.
You have the first game where you don't have Martinez or Almiron in the field to start the game, and yeah, things are going to look weird. This looked like a true expansion team. That's why they didn't look great, because they looked like an expansion team. This is what an expansion team looks like without the backing of the dollar bills that Arthur Blank has, without the reputation of a Tata Martinez to bring in a guy like Almiron and the Joseph Martinez. This is what an expansion team in Atlanta looks like. What you saw tonight is MLS Atlanta expansion team at the level of Minnesota United.
Well,
I'm not saying
the final five players, but the back line and
I'm in no way saying that Minnesota, that the team you saw tonight is on par with Minnesota. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when you don't have the backing of a top tier head coach, when you don't have the backing of the dollar bills that Arthur Blank has, this is what it looks like. This is what an expansion team looks like. But because we had that, they were missing. They were missing from this game, and I think you add Joseph Martinez, you add Miguel Almirón, this game is a completely different story, and I think we're leaving with the win if we have Joseph Martinez and Miguel Almirón to start the game. But we didn't. That's just how this works. That's how MLS and how these international breaks work. It's not – you got to deal with this. The fact that we left Seattle with a point is big. It is huge, especially with a guy like me who all he wants out of this road trip, because he knows it's a long road trip and he knows it's – there's more to come after DC United. I just want a point. I want 4 points out of the whole four games that are to come. To get any more than that, I'm ecstatic. But to go into Seattle, get a point, and go to Toronto, Toronto or Montreal? I forget which one.
Toronto's next.
To go to Toronto and have a chance to either to improve upon that is good. And I'll tell you what, Toronto didn't look good today. And I have a feeling if Almiron starts, I think Bradley's in for a day.
Oh yeah,
I think looking towards next week, I think there's a lot of things that go in favor of Atlanta United going into Toronto.
You
now again, you're going into a hostile environment, and you're going into the Eastern Conference champ home,
yeah.
And hoping at the very least to take a point out of that.
That's the thing.
Atlanta
United back to back played the best team from the West, and now they're playing the best team from the East from last season. So
yeah.
It's definitely a tough run of the schedule, and I'll say this as well. We'll get to the phones real quick because I'm very much looking forward to this call. 713-955-0722. Curtis, one of the founders of Footy Mob, is joining us right now. Curtis, how is the crowd out there in Seattle?
Oh, my God. The crowd out here is actually amazing. Like, they are one of the best crowds I've seen anywhere in soccer.
What did you think of Atlanta United's performance tonight?
It was good. It was a little bit different. It wasn't the speed that we've seen before. There were flashes of it, but, I mean, it was like watching a boxing match. You were watching people, like, punch and counterpunch, go back and forth, and nobody backing down. It was actually interesting to watch this complete change in style.
See, I thought it was a lot like an EPL match where it's just both teams are going to have their opportunities. No one really controls the midfield all that well, and it's either you're in one attacking third or the other. And
exactly.
It's a slower game. I mean, that's the one thing I noticed is that if you're looking for MLS to turn to EPL, this is the game where you had a prime example of how. Look, for us, for Atlanta fans, it was exciting because you know we're hoping we're every opportunity, every shot we're at you know we're biting our fingernails at every moment. For the casual MLS fan or for anyone that's not in Atlanta or Seattle, that was boring. What they saw on TV, but that is exactly what you get out of EPL matches. So don't give me crap about EPL being a top tier. I mean, outside of the technical ability that was displayed in the midfield, this is exactly what you get out of EPL, in my opinion. How did it look in person?
Yeah, it looked great in person, and it's weird. Everybody's kind of put asterisks by all our games. I thought this was our asterisk game where we didn't have Martinez,
yeah.
Players coming off an international break who played. So I kind of want to see this game again with us at full strength because, I mean, we manufactured a couple of chances once Almiron got in. You had a couple of shots here and there, but you're right. It was like an EPL game where the minute you got those chances, which are few and far between, everybody immediately jumped to their feet no matter which team it was because it was a quality match on both sides.
Hey, Curtis, as a founder of one of the supporters groups, did you pick up any tips from the Seattle fans out there?
Yeah, a lot, actually. I mean, everybody out here has been just amazing. They'll talk to you, answer any questions. You throw stuff out at them. And, I mean, a lot of them want to come to Atlanta, and they're just as upset that we are that they're not coming our way this year. So I think a lot of them want to travel and talk to someone today, and they usually roll 150, 200 deep to away game. So they're really looking forward to coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the only time we play Seattle this year. Hopefully next year they come to us and we can host them the right way. But, yeah, I just thought this was a good – I mean, you mentioned it was like a boxing match. Both teams had their opportunities. No one took advantage of the fact that whatever opportunities they had. I mean, you saw the Clint Dempsey off the post. That was heart-wrenching. Even after we knew it was off the post, it was just like, oh, my gosh, they should have had that one. You look at Kenwin's chance, Almiron's chance, and those are the three most threatening chances of the game. They came in the last 10 minutes. That was the most
yeah,
that was
exactly.
astounding to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was down just to the right of ECS, and I mean, when those chances all happened, when Dempsey came in, it was just like this whole wave went over, and everybody was like, all right, game over, he's in, we're going to score. And when they didn't, you start seeing like that, not begrudging respect, but they're like, oh, okay, they're not just all offense. And some of it was luck, but a lot of it was just the defense stepping up.
That's the one thing. That's the big thing I took away. We couldn't hear the actual broadcast. But if the broadcast didn't mention anything about how well these two defenses played, specifically the Atlanta United back line, which again coming into the season was the biggest question mark in most of our eyes. You know, it's not just all about running at you on the counter. We can defend. We can, when Adebayo Jones in there, we can control the midfield, and we can attack with Joseph Martinez if he's in the game. Unfortunately, for the next 4 weeks, it almost seems like a moot point to talk about this because for the next 4 weeks, but that's how different this team looks without Joseph Martinez, without Miguel Almirón. And hopefully we have Miguel Almirón starting next game. And did you like Kenwin? What did you think of Kenwin as soon as he came in?
I thought he made a big difference the minute he came in because that hold-up play, I mean, there was one play where you could see someone try to knock him off the ball and they bounced off of him instead. I think if he played a full 90 minutes, we maybe get a point out of the game as well, maybe get 3 points out of the game. We may win because you have somebody who's not going to get knocked off the ball. You got somebody who can punish their back line just as much as they punish other attacking players. And I think he would have made a huge difference if he could have gone a full 90.
Hey, Curtis, thank you so much for calling. Go out and enjoy that Seattle nightlife, all right?
I'm already doing it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And look, I love all the supporters groups, but Footy Mob has a special place in my heart just because
you like the rap music.
They're very much simpatico with my taste in the music.
I will say, you introduced me to a song yesterday?
It was a couple days ago.
Oh my god!
It's a Calvin Harris song.
That song is awesome.
It's more on the electric side of things. It's called Slide by Calvin Harris, and it features Frank Ocean and Atlanta's own Migos.
If you get a chance, go listen to that song.
It's great.
Actually, no, we played on the last podcast.
We did play on the last podcast.
So go check it out.
But it's great. It's fantastic. And, yeah, it's one of my favorite tracks out right now.
Do we want to end? We got about 3 minutes left. The atmosphere here at the Dough Irish Pub in Buckhead was amazing. I went to the bathroom like a minute before halftime. The entire bar, it's definitely the lower, the first floor. The entire first floor covered, standing room only.
And the layout of this place is great.
Shoulder
a lot of
to
room.
Shoulder Atlanta United fans. It was packed.
Look, we all have little pubs. Like
oh,
example,
my gosh.
There's a place in Athens that I really like, but it's super small. This place's layout is huge. So you have, just a bunch of, space for people. And I'll say this, too. When the second half started, everybody in here started doing the ATL Nordic clap. It was pretty cool, man. It was cool to be a part of that.
I was a little skeptical about what the watch parties would look like in terms of the numbers.
It was great.
This is, I mean, there were at least 400 people here, and I didn't even look upstairs. This is just on the first floor. There's at least 400 people here, easily. A fire hazard, a fire marshal,
yeah,
whatever
right,
it's called,
yeah, it's,
easily
Eric.
Went into that realm because there was so many people here and they were all cheering. They were all as emotional as we were. I mean, I practically lost my voice yelling at the ref.
I mean, look, I may or may not have yelled at Clint Dempsey about his heart condition.
You don't like Clint, you know, outside of the U.S. men's national team, you are not a fan of Clint Dempsey.
I don't like having to cheer for Clint Dempsey. I really don't. But when he's on the U.S. men's national team, I put my blinders on. But I don't know what it is. I really can't put my finger on it. There's just something about the guy that I don't really like. But
all right,
when he's scoring goals for the U.S.
Yeah. 2 minutes left. What's your biggest takeaway from this game?
The one lasting memory. The defense. The defense played really well, and I was really happy about it. And I can't wait for next week when you have Leandro González Pérez against Josie Altidore. I mean, it's going to be a phenomenal matchup right there.
What these guys do against, you know, what is supposed to be some of the top talent in not just in MLS, but in the U.S. men's national team pool. And so if they can perform well against those guys, I think Bradley's in for a rough game next week.
You didn't really mention the guy. You know who I'm talking about.
I don't.
Sebastian Giovinco.
He's the one. He's the only one that worries me. But at the same time, you look at how well
I'm not saying
Jordan Morris and Sebastian Giovinco, but Jordan Morris was almost non-existent this game.
No, and I meant to say
he
that earlier.
He was non-existent this game.
He didn't do anything. But look,
and that's a credit to the back line.
And I really do believe this. I think Sebastian Giovinco is the best player.
I'm right there with you.
And if Atlanta United do to him what they did to Jordan Morris, then Atlanta United has a very good chance of what they did tonight, and that's going and getting a point. I would far more think, because it's a week after the international break, that Toronto will be a heavy for going into this game, especially because
Miami
doesn't have to go to the break. But we'll see what ends up happening. Everybody out here, so, thank you so much. This has been a really fun experience tonight. Man United, you know they can draw with Seattle, who is very good. We'll be back later next week with another exciting episode.